She shed.
You know what? Everything is replaceable in the she shed.
Right, are we ready for this? I'm going to start.
I don't think we're never going to be ready.
We're
hot messes.
We it like women you're want.
Okay, redo.
Take two. Welcome to episode 3. I'm Gina Tremarco.
And I'm Rachel Tipton.
And we have a guest today.
Hey.
Introduce yourself.
I'm Caitlin, owner of Caitlin Scott Boudoir and Cali Clicks Photography.
Awesome, awesome photographer. We love her. She's done my headshots.
I have done your headshots.
And my theater performer's
headshots.
And about to do some
Some of it's a secret as a gift. But she's going to shoot my wedding.
I thought she was doing your headshots for this show.
Oh, headshots. Yeah.
Go with me. Listen. You took improv. Just listen.
Yes.
Let me finish what I'm saying before you freak out.
Yes, and.
Okay. So on this episode, every episode we have a theme. And we're talking about business, but we're also talking about being women and being women in business. But though they merge in our life hacks and everything that we deal with. And so today's theme... And by the way, by the time you hear this, it is November 6, 2018, even though these will be evergreen. It is voting day.
Voting day!
And it's a big pivotal day, and there's a lot of women running for offices, so that's awesome. But what today is about is your image. How do you show up in business? And how do you show up in life?
Just sweating.
And the three of us are just... Some of us are sweating. Some of us are hot messes.
Satan's light over here.
I mean, we can turn off the light.
Let me go Schmitz.
Are you leaving? We're in the middle of a show.
Schmitzing.
Dab, dab.
Okay.
Never wife.
Okay.
Dab.
So the beauty of this show is we're probably not going to edit it the way I edit the Pivotal Leader, which is totally professional. This is us raw. And authentic. So today's topic is image. How do you show up in business? How do you show up in your life? And we thought it'd be great to have Caitlin on because she's half naked
because
now.
I have the picture of them. Ideal image. Just kidding.
So we are talking about how do you show up. And we're now starting to think that we should really record our breakfast meeting.
Absolutely.
Because that's really where the content comes in. And last night, what I did was I went on and did a little bit of research. I sent you guys this article like at 2 in the morning or something on the history of the ideal woman and where that has left us. And it's really interesting when we think about body image.
Yes.
In general, and how we show up. And like, and we're all guilty of it too as women. Like, even when I walked into breakfast this morning, I knew she was going to be, like, dressed to the nines, right?
Yeah.
Like, because I knew she was going to do some headshots, and I was like, oh, God, she looks so good, the cute little blonde. I don't have lipstick on. And we instantly
Her hair is perfectly curled. She's got the most amazing red lips.
Yeah.
Beautiful eyelashes. And both of us were like, well, okay, we're here for
breakfast. First of all, I don't put on lipstick before I eat.
Oh, okay. You need some Stay Fast, then. You need some...
The
some stain
doesn't come off.
Some lip stain.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess that's lesson number 2 after sticking your finger in your mouth to keep lipstick off your teeth.
Hey, if you do.
To my defense, I did not want to put on makeup twice today.
Fair.
Fair. Yeah. And just so you know, we won't always be this pretty.
No.
For episodes.
Hey, you know, some days they may look like me. So Schmitzing in the corner.
You look pretty.
Oh, girl.
No, I mean, there are days when we are looking like...
Oh, like that.
No, but
like,
seriously, you do look pretty. And that's the thing that we sometimes forget is that even when we don't... Like, when we're in our most natural and authentic, that's sometimes when we do look the best.
Hey, I'm all about that.
I'm not anti-eyelashes because I'm wearing some right now.
I know. I'm like having eyelash envy right now.
Yeah, the FOMO is
and
so
I also
real.
Like... sometimes get complimented when I have no makeup on, and that's when you go, oh my god, it's terrible.
Yeah, because people are seeing you for who you really are, and they still think you're beautiful, and you're going, how do I take that? Because that's not what society says.
Well, you did
says.
That last week. You texted me, and you're like, oh, warning, I don't look good, or I'm a hot mess, and I'm like, that sounds like negative self-talk going on.
Oh, I was just, you're right, but I was just admitting openly that. I'm coming.
Hey, we're usually like rolling out from a workout or
yep. Normally,
we don't always do this. So,
And that's right. That's good. That's
so
good.
We're gonna like keep you surprised. But getting back to the history of ideal women, it was interesting going through this article, and I'm not gonna go through the whole thing, but it's
you can post the link for that.
I'll post the link for it,
and if you have time, read it. It does take a little bit, but she sent this to me last night, and I immediately shared it because it is what every woman should hear, legitimately, and every man. It's a good read, and take your time and read it.
It literally takes you through the history of women's imaging and bodies, and you know, I know some of us already knew this kind of history, like back in the day in the Rubenesque era, which actually was an artist named Ruben.
Right.
Who did not know that.
I learned that from this article.
Yep. Rubenesque women that was a sign of your husband was wealthy and did well. So the fatter you were, the richer you were. And there's all kinds of interesting things in this article that go way back. I mean, like, this body
that
figure.
Body.
Okay. This picture, if anybody can see it. Okay, up there.
Show Instagram.
Instagram. Like, that's how I look when I take my clothes off. that's how I feel.
Newsflash. This is what most women look like.
That's how I feel.
Your boobs hang to your waist. And that weird thing down at your hip, it's not really a muffin top because it falls off of your the muffin top happens when you cinch the pants down. This is what a muffin top looks like unmuffined. The wrapper's off.
Yeah.
Right here. This is it. That's that. Right there.
That's
this is what every woman looks like.
Yeah. So that's how I feel. So I saw that and I was like, that's awesome. And then they talk about that era where they created corsets. The purpose of creating corsets was to really suck in your waist, make your boobs look big, and make your hips look big. And so that
was attractive. That, they padded. So they cinched the waist, but then they padded the back.
Yeah.
So they used undergarments as a way to create a more of an hourglass figure, which I ironically is sort of what's happening here, except the small part is her shoulders. Right? So it's still an hourglass figure, but that's what they were trying to create. But you had to be ultimately sucked in order to do that. And then they still added on the back.
And so, that's back in the day when booty was popular then. Like, booty's coming back?
I've heard the corset thing is coming back. Like, it's the new trend.
It is. Corset bit. So they also have a picture of Kim waist training here. Which don't ever do. It's terrible for you. I mean, it's one of the worst things that you can do.
That brings up a good point of all of the, you know, obviously I have been a dancer since age 5 and I bring the perspective of the other side of women who spend endless amounts of time in the gym, like trying to be as fit or as skinny, whatever word you want to use as possible. Mm-hmm. And, like, that's just one of a million things that women do to damage themselves because they want to look like whatever this Photoshop nonsense on social media. Or, you know, we talked about it at breakfast that, you know, being in the show business, like, it's all about your body. So it's a very heavy weight to bear, pardon the pun, but it is. It's like constant thought. It's constant comparison to others. And, you know, Gina and I talked about this the other day. Like, there were these really beautiful pictures that somebody posted about the Christmas show at Legends. And first thing, I looked at the pictures, and the very first thing in my mind was like, oh, my God, I'm so fat. Like, that was the first thought in my mind. And I caught myself.
And what did I say? What did I say to you when you told me that?
You said that, describing me to others?
No, I saw that picture. When I saw that picture, I'm like, oh, my God, that's my gorgeous skinny co-host.
Oh, see? Perspective.
And that's so, and that's
so when she said that to me, I was like, bitch.
Exactly. Well, when I heard myself say that, like, it was a thought that I heard inside.
Did you immediately self-correct, hopefully?
I did. I was like, Rachel, come on, you ridiculous thing. You're amazing. Like, I had to. It's taken me a long, long time because, you know, part of my story is just battling eating disorders since I was young.
Well, that's a good segue. So I want to segue into that in this article. It says, the rise of the 1920s flapper reflected this shift toward the Western world desiring a more slim physique. As slender women's bodies started to appear in the magazines in the mid-1920s, an epidemic of eating disorders also occurred among young women, according to some studies.
This kills me.
So and then it fast forwards to the 1960s and 70s, which may piss off some women because one of my questions on Facebook today was like, so did this feminism movement of the 60s to 70s Curtis or help us, right? Because they talk about the shift, the historical shift from a rounded to a thinner body preference led to the rise of British fashion model Leslie Lawson, also known as Twiggy, right? They seem to symbolize a shift away from the corsets and pinup girls of years past. Simultaneously, the second wave of the women's rights movement began. And the article goes on to talk about how eating disorders then also kind of catapulted again because we became so obsessed with being thin. Now, at breakfast, we talked about what also helped that was the hippie drug movement.
The rise in the drug movement because you're suppressing your appetite, ultimately.
And you were able to maintain that. So I don't know who started the flapper dress or the Twiggy thing, but screw you.
So here's my question on this. Exactly. I'm like, screw you.
You know what? I want to go back to the Renaissance.
Nobody looks good in a flapper dress unless you're a size 1.5.
Right? Or a
like
zero.
You would look amazing in a flapper dress. You put it on me and people be like, where's the car wash? Right. Like, where? Well, what are we doing? You know what I mean?
She
like,
might not even be thin enough for a flapper dress.
Yeah,
because they're like,
you have to be really thin.
You can't have any curves.
Yeah. And I mean, the bottom line is that, and I used to be in fitness too, as you know, Gina was my coach while I was a fitness trainer. Like, anything's achievable if that's your goal. Like, if you want to be a certain body type, you can get there mostly if you work hard enough, but yet you can't get to be what you're not. And that doesn't make sense, but it goes into that story I was telling at breakfast. So, I was working in a show. I was so proud of myself. This was after years of battling eating disorders, like just doing horrible, horrible things to my body and just being covert and just crazy stuff. Every diet pill on the planet, yada, yada. I finally had enough therapy like to be happy about my body.
Is such a good story.
And I was super fit. Like my hairdresser at the time, I remember her sitting in the back of the theater and going, oh my God, your abs are like ripped six pack. I can see them from the back of the theater. I was really feeling good about myself. Well, the producer brought me in the office one day and I pretty much thought that he was going to tell me to stop being such a bitch because I was pretty much being a bitch. And but instead he sat me down and said... He sat me down and he literally said, I need you to lose 15 pounds in the next 2 weeks. And my suggestion to you is quit going to the gym and smoke more cigarettes because that'll help you achieve that. And I swear without missing a single beat, I looked at him and I was like, no, I will be bringing you my notice tomorrow, which I did. I brought him my notice and put it on his desk the next day. And I walked away from my dance career at that point thinking I would never go back. But it was very, because I was like, nope, not going to puke for you, buddy. I'm not going to do it. So.
Okay, but here's that perception. Are we always battling not only the stereotype that women need to be successful, but they also have to, in order to be better than a man, do we also have to look a certain way? Like, is that part of the competition for having...
Well, in all reality, I don't think that it really... will change anytime soon. Reality is reality. Even as a keynote speaker, as a trainer, I have to show up a certain way. I've been thinner. I've been heavier. I told you earlier, I'm like, now I take my headshots when I'm like middle of the road because yeah. I don't want those headshots of me when I'm on my thinner side because when I show up, they're like,
who are you?
Who are you?
What happened? And you're like, nothing happened.
Well,
I'm
so
fabulous.
Do we want to be, do women in general judge ourselves because we want to be more desirable to men or to, you know, if you're in a same-sex kind of relationship, or you want to be desirable to the other person, or do you want to be fit in with the people around you? Like, what is the reason that we do that?
I think it's a combination. I think men and women judge equally. I think there are women who will judge you from this perspective of like, oh, gorgeous skinny blonde bitch. But it's true.
It's so true, and it's so unfair in my eyes.
And they might not actually like you because of it until like they see you're intelligent.
Thanks. It's almost like the perception that like skinny people can't have self doubt and can't have
right.
That's
right.
Totally unfair. Everybody has
skinny people lives matter too.
Hashtag a little too soon. Hashtag we'll work on it. But
women your mother warned you about.
Hashtag
unfiltered.
Unfiltered, raw, and ready, right to the point.
That made me sweat. It was so good.
Well,
But it's true, though. I mean, honestly, okay, honestly, I work with some really, really talented people in show business, and it's interesting to me that sometimes the most talented, or like the most beautiful and the most thin people that you see, or the most whatever, the, even the most successful in business, are sometimes, they're super insecure. Mm-hmm. And if you compliment them, they're like, oh, God.
Yeah, they like, shrink. They pull back.
I said to a girl the other day, I'm like, oh, my God, you're just so talented and you're so beautiful. And she's like, oh, my God, I just look so terrible. And I was like, but
which is so sad. It doesn't have to be that way.
No.
It can. You can empower other women.
Well, there are people out there who will beat you down, and it could be part of your baggage from childhood, or some, or maybe from a bad marriage. You somewhere got beat up along the way that you lose. I mean, it's happened to me throughout my whole life where, you know, I can never please my mother or a boyfriend or sometimes a husband or whatever. Like, or just other people around me. And I told you this at breakfast, too, that I had a coach who told me that sometimes I hide behind being a bitch or being funny. And I'm like, well, I own a comedy club, so.
And that.
The bitch part, let's talk about.
Thank you.
Right?
Talk
like,
about that, yes.
Let's talk about that. So you're calling me a bitch, why? Because I'm aggressive, because I'm assertive, because I'm loud, because I'm opinionated. Does that make me a bitch? Because if that were a man, and this is not a man bashing show because we do love men, but there is a difference there in how we are seen based on how we. Our personalities are. And so if you're not 100% who you are authentically, you're just catering to what everybody else wants you to be.
Well, and I just wrote a blog post on this. Society hands you a box as a little girl. They hand you a box that you're supposed to fit in. You're not supposed to be too loud. You're not supposed to take up too much space. God forbid you're any better than any of the boys, right? So this little tiny box, and that's what we're told that we have to fit our bodies into. Emotionally, spiritually, all of it. We don't know that you can order a bigger box. Like, your box can be pink, or your box can, you can go to the post office and get a bigger box. We aren't taught that. And until you learn that, we spend our whole lives trying to be the cat that tries to sit in the little tiny box and the sides blow out. Like, that's what we do our whole life. And so trying to fit within those.
I was about to say, you don't need a box.
Right. You can not have a box. I mean, you could have a hula
hoop. Yeah, I'm claustrophobic. I don't want a box.
You could go commando your whole life. It doesn't matter. You don't need a box. But there are other sizes of boxes if that's what you want to do. And I think as women, we don't teach our girls that enough. And we were talking about this earlier. Women, when we look to business books and stuff, a lot of them are written by males. And that's just kind of been industry average right now. Until stuff like this, where you're going, look, we're powerful, we're independent, we're successful, we don't have a box, and that's okay. And it's being able to teach your little girls that and look up to people like you guys. So this is important, and this is why I think it's what you guys are doing is amazing. So.
And I think it's, thank you, and I think it's not just about women either, because we want men to be on the show, and we will have men as guests. My good friend Keith will be joining us at some point. His segment will be What Would Keith Say? He's going to chime in on that. But, you know, there are also men who have traditionally, because they've been also given a box, they've been traditionally given that box that this is how I have to show up as a man.
Masculine.
And so they have a different persona that they have a mask on. And they're not showing up exactly who they are. Or they show up, I worked for a guy who, on the surface, you thought he was the most amazing person in the community, and you get behind closed doors with him, and he was a scumbag and truly didn't care about people. But he did a great job of showing up that way in the community.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people do that, though. It's the armor that we put on. Brené Brown talks about this all the time. You walk into the world, and you put your armor on, and like she says, armor's hard to put on. It takes a long time. It's heavy. When you get home, you don't want to take it off. When you're behind closed doors, you don't want to take it off. So you wear your armor all the time.
Yeah.
And again, you're not allowed to be authentic, because authentic is scary and vulnerable, and you're standing in your wilderness, and it's just like, holy cow, I can't be vulnerable, because then I don't fit into what my boss wants, what the people I'm leading want, all of that. It's scary to be vulnerable and authentic, and it's hard.
Let's talk a little bit about, because of the work that you do with photography, and we've hit on it a little bit about like how I feel about my own headshots, and now I'm like, I'm just going to have that middle-of-the-road body weight headshot.
Yeah.
So I have room to lose weight or gain weight and be
you still look you and authentically
be okay. You were telling a story because you do a lot of, we're not going to name names, but you've done some work for people with their headshots, and you can decide if you want to talk about what industry.
Yeah.
Why don't you talk about kind of, you've got a barometer of like what you think is allowable, how long to wait on taking pictures.
Right. So, your brand, especially in today's day and age, is essentially you, and it doesn't matter what industry you're in. They always say, oh, your brand should be the identity of what your company is and blah, blah, blah. And yes, you should work for a company that honors your current identity. But here's the deal. You yourself are your walking brand. The way that you perceive yourself in person is always going to be shown, no matter what. Like, you can hide online all you want. You can show that you're a 42-year-old. We'll use real estate because this happens a lot. No offense, obviously. Yeah, right? But real estate is a great example.
Wait, better do this side so they don't see always, the habitat.
We're going to do the real estate photo. Yeah.
This side, you can't tell I have any tattoos there yet.
But I love my real estate agents. But here's the deal. A lot of the time, they're using a headshot that was done almost 20 years ago.
Totally. I've met them sometimes.
Oh, my gosh. I'm like, and you get there, and you're like, hey, I'm here to see so-and-so. And they're going, oh, it's me. Yeah. And you're going, oh, gosh, that's not at all who I saw online. Your identity is always going to be exposed. A headshot needs to be in line with the message that you're portraying across the board. So your website, your social media, your personal social media, your business, it all needs to be consistent and it all needs to be branded the same. So your LinkedIn headshot should be the same as your Facebook. It should be the same as your business. It all should read consecutive, consistent.
And speaking of LinkedIn, your LinkedIn headshot should not be you holding your dog or a picture of your car.
And please don't let it be a selfie with your arm in it. Of all things, the awkward down, making your neck look really small. Nobody wants that.
Oh.
Right?
Right.
Like, how many people do you see every single day with LinkedIn profiles like that? That's what makes me crazy.
I don't look at those.
Oh. Right? You keep it moving, right? Perception is reality.
Yeah,
if you can't afford however much it is for a headshot, professional headshot, are you really going to take the time as a client? Real estate. I'm trusting you with probably the biggest purchase I've ever made in my whole life,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't afford a photographer to take your professional headshot, how are you going to treat me as a client? What corners are you going to cut, right? So those are super important. I say every about 2 years, if not more. You really should be doing photos every single year, depending on how you look, depending on your weight.
For sure. The photo that I have right now was mm-hmm. done by a really great photographer, and it's all over my, everywhere.
It's a great headshot.
It's a great headshot, but now I need a new one because it looks a little too conservative, and it's just mm-hmm. not, it doesn't scream me anymore.
Right. And so when you show your new personality now, do you immediately lose trust with your clients?
I want to back up a second.
Yeah.
Because it's an interesting kind of phrase. When you show up with your new personality, right? It's actually her old personality showing up as it's meant to show up.
Right. Authentically.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, but that's good. That's very good.
And it's kind of like an interesting, like when we finally decide to show up and embrace who we are,
right.
People are like, she's changed.
Right. You actually take the armor off and you're authentic. And people go, what happened to you? And you're like, no, this is the bad bitch that I was this entire time. And I just had all this armor on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, in terms of your question about how do people act when I show up and I'm different, I don't think it's that much different because I still show up with my clients and I am professional and I treat them with respect. And that's what I think that photo shows professionalism.
Yeah.
I just think it's a little stuffier than I really am.
Yeah, right. That's all. It's not showing you true essence.
I think that maybe that it's the reverse, that they're like, oh, she's not as stuffy as she looked like she might be.
Okay, we
good,
can get down on her.
That's good.
Yeah. Oh, but that's true. I think people who wait 10 years, 20 years, they immediately lose credibility. Because
do you think people are afraid like to get a new headshot, or they think they're just cheap? Like, because I definitely, I think it's been too long, and it's been like a year that I did my headshot.
I don't think it's a cheap thing. I think as women age, the whole being authentic, let me back up. Because women who are older were raised in a household where mom to vacuum was in like a dress and heels, right? That was the perception. It was take care of dad, take care of the home, always look presentable, always be done, makeup on, blah, blah, blah. That's how they were raised. my generation wasn't raised like that. Like, we weren't raised that way. But their generation was. And so I think it's, in order to be successful, they have to look a certain way. And that means 10, 20 years ago.
Interesting.
So I think it's not necessarily, I think it's the fear of actually knowing what you look like and seeing yourself authentically.
I think it's also, regardless of that demographic of our moms, as I age, right, you do start to get to a place of like, oh, look at the young pups coming up. Mm-hmm. Oh, the young girls are right behind me. And you start looking at yourself and questioning, like, am I still going to be marketable?
Which is so weird, because that's living in scarcity is ultimately what's happening. Yeah. It's like you doubt your ability. And you not even doubt your ability, but you're like, my ability is entrenched with the way I look and how I present myself and the picture I put out to the world. When in reality, at this age and this time in your life, you're more valuable than you've ever been.
In my 20s, I was a disaster. In my 30s, I was like mostly a disaster. And now
in my 40s, I was a bit of a jet.
Now that I'm 40, 42, when you're 42. Like, I feel like since I turned 40, which most women fear for whatever reason, I feel like I'm just, like, in the last few years, like, I'm like, okay, I understand my value. I understand that I really am intelligent and worth it. And I have a lot to offer. And now I'm working on how can I best offer that to the people.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. So, like, definitely was not doing it when I was, well, here's, you know, there's young bucks. That
yeah.
Are
and
up.
Here's
like,
the other awesome thing.
Maybe they're not as much of a disaster.
Being willing to say I'm 42, or for me, I'm 50.
And fabulous. And,
oh, lady voice. there was like such a fear getting to that age for some reason. And I'm like, I felt that way about 42. I'm like, I just need to pass the mark and then be, and I got past the 40 mark and I'm like, cool. Then I'm like, I just got to get past 50 and now I'm cool. But I talked to a lot of other women who are older and they're like, oh, it doesn't get good till you're 60.
Right.
Like, so awesome. We get better as we go. We get, we're more valuable as we go. And the looks thing, well, I mean, I can't show up and do a keynote speak, like rolling out of bed.
Don't wear your flip flops and your tights, right? We talked about that. Nobody trusts
I mean,
you.
I still got to like do my hair and put on makeup
up. Have you ever seen anybody in flip flops and tights?
Yes.
Like tights that go over your
feet?
The ones that, like, the tights that go over your
jeans. I'm thinking leggings like I'm wearing today.
Like joggers. Okay. Yeah.
I'm picturing, like, the flip-flop thing going in between your toes. Oh, God. I wouldn't even talk to you.
Oh, my God.
No, I was like, what? I wonder why she was so repulsed by that. Because I'm like...
That's like the people, and no offense to you, but I am offended if you wear like socks and Birkenstock kind of deal too.
Oh,
that's bad.
I don't do that.
Okay, no, that would be, I would never get another speaking gig.
Really?
If you were. You might in Humboldt County. Like, that's their.
If you wore socks and Birkenstocks?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, good. Because I was like, oh, did I offend you?
No, you didn't offend anybody.
No, I might get a speaking gig, but they wouldn't have money to pay me.
Yeah.
I mean.
Okay.
It might be a place where they're like
recreational drugs. Ew,
yeah, ew, one in hits.
Oh my God. Okay, wait. I want to pull this paper back out for a second because this is the part that really struck me hard.
Okay.
When it goes into nearly a third of children age 5 to 6 in the U.S. select an ideal body size that is thinner than their current size. When given the option. And by 7, 1 in 4 children has engaged in some kind of dieting behavior.
Mm.
It goes on to talk about that there's body confidence issues in children as young as 3 to 5 years old.
How is that possible?
And I just had this whole discussion.
3 to 5 is possible. Really. Okay. So when you're 3 years old, right, what do you do when your mom's getting ready for a date? What are you doing? You're sitting on the bed, right? Watching her put her makeup on.
Yeah.
What's mom doing in the mirror?
Oh.
I have this conversation with my lady.
Fascinating.
All the time. Okay, so women say, I tell my daughter she's beautiful. All the time. I tell my daughter, she's not going to have body issues. All right, sis, let's have a real conversation about this because your daughter watches every single thing you do. You see the little boys in the mirror pretending to shave?
Yeah.
And you don't know why? They've watched dad do it for years, right?
That makes sense.
Who hate their bodies... No matter how good you think you are at hiding it, your daughter will always, always, always pick up on it. And that's that impressionable impressionable 3 to 5. Mm. No matter what you're saying to her, your actions are always going to speak louder. So when you're tugging on your dress in the mirror going, man, and you're playing with your stomach, or you're going, what are my wrinkles doing? Or, oh, wow, look at these crow's feet. Your daughter's watching. So if you hate your body, your daughter sees it, and immediately she's going to have the same response to it. And I know that sucks, and it's not what people want to hear.
It makes me want to vomit a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also a reality, too, in the business world. You take it back into business, and even if you have the utmost confidence in yourself no matter what, there's still someone out there judging you.
Always.
And making decisions whether or not to hire you.
Yeah.
Based on the way you look.
Right.
Right.
And that's what we talked about in the last episode is, like, I'm trying to teach my daughter, because the do you think I'm fat question came up the other day, too. And I put it on Facebook, and I got the most interesting responses from people. But the way that I actually handled it, in case anybody's curious, is I said, absolutely, you're not fat. And if you're not feeling good about yourself right now, then what can we do to make you feel better? Do you want to get involved in some sort of sport? You know, what? And that led to a whole other conversation mm-hmm. about why she actually said that. And it was more about belonging with her friends, mm-hmm. like getting back in something with her friends. But I believe that, because to the point of no matter how thin or fit or fat or this or that, that women get, if we don't have that self-talk that's positive about wherever you're at in your current body shape or form, like that you're okay with where you're at. And one person on that Facebook feed did say something which I thought was really cool. It was a guy, actually, because I said, hey, moms, what do you say to your daughters when mm-hmm. they say that? There was a lot of guys that responded, which was interesting. And the guy said, we have fat. We have sometimes more fat, sometimes less fat. We are not fat. And it's just something that can be manipulated. I thought it was, and maybe I didn't say it exactly the way he did, but
you're right.
It was very interesting, because we qualify ourselves like, oh my God, I'm so fat. Mm-hmm. But it's not that. It's like, I am Rachel. I am amazing. I am perfect as God created me. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I have a little bit more fat content on my body than others.
Why do we spend time even thinking about it?
Exactly.
That's where I get hung up.
Well,
all the time.
The other thing we talked about this morning was fall from grace.
Oh,
right.
Yes.
And we talked about the people out there, the coaches, the gurus, the motivational whatnots, who mm-hmm. are out there kind of preaching, you know, how we should be. And we said we would be kind and not, like, bring up names and try to talk around it, because we don't want to throw anybody under the bus. I think some motivational speakers may lose their way mm-hmm. for the money.
Oh.
Do you want to touch on that? Because you're the one who used the phrase fall from grace, Caitlin.
Yeah. So recently I've had a couple people that I held on a major pedestal. I mean, moved to heaven and earth would have done a lot of things to get into good grace with these people. And in the long run, the outside and the exterior was a really pretty picture that I really liked. And because of that, I held them on a really high pedestal.
And it's not just the actual physical picture.
No.
It's
the image of their success. The image of their success and how they made other women feel. And in reality, seeing the underbelly and watching their narrative change and become less authentic in order to chase a $6 billion industry of, you know, preying on housewives that are overweight and focusing on fitness rather than being a badass and focusing on, you know, you have to be a certain fat in order to be body positive. These are all things that I am struggling with, because I had them on such a high pedestal. And when they fell from grace, it was a big fall for me. I mean, I took it real, real personal. For a lot of reasons, but mostly because I saw them as genuine, authentic, and I loved them for that. But in reality, the person behind the mask that they put on social media is nothing like what they are in real person, like in real life. Seeing conversations that they've had, watching them shame other women, using something like health and fitness as you can't be successful without being healthy and fit. Here's the deal, sis. Like, there's a lot of fat women in this world that are doing amazing things, and it has nothing to do with health and fitness. you know, if we took all of that away, I don't know who was telling me about this, but if women stopped using beauty products and all of weight loss products for a year, was it me, or for a week, was it me and you that were talking about this?
I don't remember.
So if all women in this, in the United States stopped using healthcare products and beauty products for a week, it would be the collapse, like the air.
Of the economy.
It would be a collapse of the economy, yeah. Like what we saw after 9/11 with the
That just gave me anxiety, like no lip gloss.
Right. Because you can't leave your house naked.
What about shampoo?
I mean, that falls in that category. Yeah. Because what do we use shampoo for? The highlights that we have in our hair that we need to maintain?
I'm not in. I like my shampoo and my lip gloss.
I refuse. But I'm just saying, it would be a economic fall like yeah, we've never that's seen. Amazing. Because we prey on people's insecurities.
But taking it a step further, when we look to other people to be role models mm-hmm. for us and then they fall from grace and become who they are, they show their true colors. Mm-hmm. Right? It has detrimental effects on us as individuals, as humans, as business owners, mm-hmm. which brings us back to the theme of today's episode is about your image. How do you show up in life? How do you show up in business? Mm-hmm. You know, and social media is a whole other episode of, you know, look at all the people on social media who like their lives are perfect and their marriages are perfect. And look at me, I'm perfect and everything is happy. Post like reality, people are like, you're being negative. I'm like, I'm usually funny with my negativity because it's real shit that's happening.
Right.
And I'm helping someone with my real shit, mm-hmm. even sometimes, if it's negative yeah. in the moment. But for the most part, like, I celebrate every tiny little thing that happens. I'm like, this happened. Even my a very good friend and former sister-in-law who says, Gina, sometimes, you know, you got to be careful what you post because it almost sounds like you're bragging. I'm like, oh, my God. 1 minute I'm negative. The next minute I'm bragging. I'm like, I can't please everybody. So I'm going to be 100% who I am. And if you don't like that,
hey,
it's okay.
And I always say, either bring my horse carriage in the same direction or get off my carriage, right? Like, you can help my horses pull in one direction, but don't pull the other way. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Get off my carriage.
Get off my carriage. Oh, I like that. So if people want to get a hold of you or learn more about you,
yes,
where are the best places to connect with you, get photography from you, get to know you, love you?
All of the things. Caitlin Scott is my company. And
spell that because it's spelled different than normal.
Caitlin, it's K-A-T-E-L-Y-N and Scott, S-C-O-T-T. There are a few places. Social media is great. I actually just started a group on Facebook that is females only. Sorry, guys, but it's a place for all female empowerment, being authentic, mm-hmm. like the weird stuff that we deal with. Like, oh, I had an eyelash fall off on a first date. What do I do? You know, just the stuff that nobody wants to like talk about. That's a safe haven for it. So definitely there. But my website is also a really good place. It gives you a really in-depth feel for who I am and all the messy.
I got some stories.
All the messy.
In the group.
Awesome. Well, it was awesome having you on this episode.
I am so glad I would see you. Thanks,
guys. I feel like you should be here more often with us. You just might be. Who knows? And Rachel, if people want to reach out to you and know more about you, where should they go?
Facebook is great. Instagram is great. You can find me at rachelonrealestate.com. You can find me at racheltipton.com. But social media is the fastest way, or texting, and you can find my phone number on my social media.
I was too on a bathroom wall. No, we're just kidding.
You probably can, and I hope so, because call me if you need a house.
Yeah, right?
But seriously, people say that sometimes. They're like, oh my God, you're not afraid that you'll get creepy calls? Nope, have not. My phone number is so
you know
so
what?
Easy
that means
find.
That needs to actually be another episode. We're going to do an episode on horrible cold calling.
Ugh.
Because I actually record every cold call that I get now just to mess with the cold caller.
Yes.
And I want to actually turn that into something. I don't know what, but I'm going to take all that audio and turn it into something every time I go into character.
Before, this call is being recorded for educational purposes.
I have, and they hang up on me. I was like, oh, man, that was going to be a really good call.
Oh, that is super funny.
if you want to reach out to me, GinaTremarco.com, I'm on all the interwebs, all the social medias, you can find Gina Tremarco. And for this show, Women Your Mother Warned You About.com or the Gina and Rachel Show. .com. You can find us there. Awesome. This is for those watching us on Facebook Live and Instagram. Again, we're this show's going to post in January, and we're just kind of trying to get people hyped up. Follow our Facebook page right now because our website's in development. So get involved. We will continue to Facebook Live from my personal account and Instagram from Rachel's account for now, but we'll build up our Facebook site, but eventually the website will be up for you to follow. And I think that's it. Thanks for tuning in today on Women Your Mother Warned You About. And we're going to go turn some lights off because it's
hot as hell.
It is hot in here. Oh my God. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
This really will get serious soon.
Yeah, it doesn't have to. I don't think anybody wants it to be serious.
This has been a presentation of the Sell or Die Network. For more podcasts that you can take out into the street and turn into money, visit SellorDieNetwork.com.